I'm Christopher Springman, and you're listening to Body Language. When you write a book entitled Breasts, A Natural and Unnatural History, watch out, as even your writer friends, anxious to provide a soundbite about how wonderful your book is, will get a laugh at your expense. Are you ready, author Florence Williams? Oh, welcome to Body Language.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Oh, your close personal friend, Mary Roach, who's been on this show. She's the author of Bonk Said, Florence Williams Double Detail, and says a reporter and writer lift this book high above the genre and separate it from the ranks of ordinary science writing. Breasts is illuminating, surprising, clever, important, and Williams is an author to savor and look forward to. So tacky, double D, lift and separate. But I guess when you write a book like this, humor either brings out the best or perhaps the worst in people.
Well, I'm very proud to have double D talent because I don't have them on my chest.
Well, they grow on you after all. Stop it. But there's a very serious side to this book, too. In fact, according to the New York Times, your loudest environmental call to arms is in a chapter entitled The Few, the Proud, the Afflicted, a chapter on the largest cluster of male breast cancer ever documented. Tell us about that and why it's important and how it relates to the message of your book.
Okay, the message of my book is really that breasts have changed in modern life in many ways. Some in terms of how they look, for example, breasts are bigger, and some in terms of breast health. It's hard to write a book about the science of breasts without talking about cancer. But what a lot of people don't know is that men can get breast cancer.
Actually, I've interviewed several men who've had breast cancer. One had the pink ribbon tattooed over his classic diagonal mastectomy scar.
Wow, that's interesting. Well, men do get breast cancer at a rate of only about 1%, at the rate that women get it. But like breast cancer in women, breast cancer in men is on the rise.
What happened at Camp Lejeune in North Carolina that is so significant and relates to your book, Breasts, A Natural and Unnatural History?
Well, that chapter on male breast cancer is about Camp Lejeune, which was a Marine base, still is a Marine base in North Carolina. We now know that that Marine base had the most contaminated public groundwater supply ever found in the United States, with four main chemicals, mostly industrial chemicals used for degreasing machinery, leaking into the groundwater. And a number of diseases sort of emerged in people who worked or lived on that base. And one of them is male breast cancer. There are now about 80 men who have come forward. Many of them were Marines. Some of them grew up on the base because their parents were working for the military. Many of them are very young men who were diagnosed in their 30s and 40s. So this is really an interesting emerging breast cancer cluster.
How does this cluster relate to the theme of your book?
Well, in my book, I look at how the environment has affected breasts, and that includes everything from our lifestyles to the things, the foods we eat, to the chemicals we're exposed to. And a lot of people have a feeling that breast cancer may somehow be related to industrial chemicals, but we've never actually proven it. We've proven it in lab animals, but it's very hard to prove in humans because we're all exposed, of course, to so many things all the time.
Right. In fact, you had your own breast milk tested and discovered that the presence of environmental toxins. What is that all about?
I sent a vial of my breast milk. I FedExed it to a lab in Germany, and it came back for a positive for flame retardants, which are all over our homes, in our furnishings and in our homes and offices. I also came back positive for a pesticide. And also for a jet fuel ingredient. Those were the main ones we looked for. And I wanted to know what this meant for my baby.
Well, exactly. I mean, you're transferring rocket fuel to your child via breast milk. That doesn't sound
It doesn't sound very appetizing.
Well, on the other hand, the child really doesn't have a big vote in the equation.
Oh, my children definitely had votes. They loved breastfeeding. They wanted to do it all the time. But, what I found out was that breast milk is still such a miraculous and incredible substance that the benefits of breastfeeding, even in modern life, you know, still outweigh these risks from these chemicals. But I was really shocked, you know, to learn that breasts do attract some of these chemicals. And, of course, everyone wonders what that means, too, for breast cancer risk. So hopefully we'll learn a lot from studying these men at Camp Lejeune.
I read a review at Slate.com about your book, Breasts, A Natural and Unnatural History, entitled Your Breasts Are Trying to Kill You, A Smart New History Takes Boobs. Can we say that on the radio? Boobs. Seriously. And one of the statements that the author made, Lindy West, is that everything gives you breast cancer and nothing gives you breast cancer. Hey, what does that mean?
You know, what it means is that we haven't really unlocked the secrets of breast cancer. We know that a lot of people get it. It's actually, breast cancer is the most common cancer that women get other than skin cancer. And it's also the number one killer of women in middle age. Globally, it's the number one cancer killer.
Well, one way to detect that, according to the author, is, quote, feel yourself up all the time.
Right. Well, there have been a lot of studies looking at how effective these clinical or self-breast exams are, and unfortunately, they don't always work to detect breast cancer. What does work, though, sometimes is just for women to get to know their bodies and to know how their breasts feel normally, and to just sort of be vigilant if something seems to change.
Well, it would probably not surprise you to learn, and we've done several shows on this, generally entitled What's That, Honey?, about how intimate partners frequently discover breast cancer, testicular cancer, anal and oral cancers because they're cruising around their partner's body and invariably say, oh, gee, honey, referring to the husband, there is a strange discharge coming from one of your nipples. Maybe you should have that looked at. To which he usually replies, oh, it's probably nothing, as she grabs him by something convenient and drags him down to the doctor's office for an examination.
Well, that's one of the reasons that men don't always find their breast cancers, in a timely period, because they just, you know, they assume it's not breast cancer. They think it's a lump that they got from, you know, playing basketball or from, you know, running into something.
The Slate author also says babies are cannibals and your breasts may be sexist. What does that mean?
It's very interesting that your breasts are very smart. Smarter than people give them.
That's why they're called boobs. Oh, I'm sorry.
That's why they're called boobs. No, that's why men call them.
Everything
boobs.
I say is such a handful. Oh, there I go again.
Breasts turn men into boobs.
That's right.
Your breasts actually know when you're breastfeeding. It looks like your breasts know how old your infant is because they adjust the components of the ingredients, you know, more fats, more proteins, depending on how old your baby is. They also know what sex your baby is. They know if your baby is a male or a female, and they adjust the composition of the milk that way also. You know, reasons we don't totally understand.
Well, you know, that's one of the reasons the show is called Body Language, because we really discussed not nonverbal communication, but really the language of how your body communicates with you and sends you messages. So apparently, boobs are smart.
Boobs are smart, and they are actually communicating all the time. They are communicating not only with your baby and with our own bodies, but actually with the world around us. The breasts are filled with estrogen and progesterone receptors. They pick up cues from the environment all the time, and that's how they know when to grow in puberty. It's how they know when to start making the dairy machinery, because they can sense when your body's pregnant. So they're incredibly responsive organs, which is partly why they also seem to be very susceptible to environmental change.
And you were delivering a very, very important message to women and their partners. Our guest has been author Florence Williams, who has written the book Breasts, A Natural and Unnatural History. Florence, thank you for joining us today on Body Language.